Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Whereas the previous chapter concerned an adulteress calling out to the sons of men, today's passage describes wisdom, personified as a woman, constantly inviting men to follow her. She also provides compelling reasons for doing so. Please open your Bible to Proverbs 8 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola begins his discussion of this chapter, which reveals that true wisdom can only be found in God's Word and in the person of Jesus Christ.
Proverbs chapter 8. This is the wisdom chapter. The world is impressed by individuals who are brilliant and who are smart, aren't they? And yet you can have the brilliance and the smartness to build a spacecraft and land something on Mars and then go home and eat and drink things with the Surgeon General's warning on the bottle. It just doesn't make sense. When Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, that was a city, a cosmopolitan city, that gloried in the wisdom of man, he declared that the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Paul said that he didn't declare the gospel with the enticing wisdom of man's words, but with the power of the Holy Spirit. The wisdom that we're learning of tonight and that is found all the way through the Bible is not obtained in a university. It's not obtained in a seminary. It's obtained by the Holy Ghost. The prophet Jeremiah said, "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me." And so that's our prayer this evening, that God would give to you and I the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. That's what we need. We need the wisdom that comes from above. And so in verse 1, we read, "Doth not wisdom cry," or literally call out, "and understanding put forth her voice?" There are 223 references to the word wisdom in the entire Bible. 48 times we find them in the book of Proverbs. Now, how does wisdom cry? Well, verbally, in the written word of God. Providentially, God speaks to us through creation. Creation speaks to us day and night. And he speaks to us through the circumstances that are going on in our lives. Beginning in Proverbs 1:22, the concept of wisdom takes on the characteristics of a person. And wisdom is personified in Proverbs 1:22 in the feminine gender, and twice in this chapter, the words "she" found in verses 2 and 3. But the context of the wisdom spoken of here in chapter 8 clearly reveals the Lord Jesus Christ as the wisdom of God. In Colossians 2:3, we read that it's in Christ there is hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That doesn't leave any room for wisdom anywhere else. In Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. 1 Corinthians 1:24 says, "But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." The Family Bible Program says, "God is exceedingly earnest in his endeavors to recall men from sin and folly to heavenly wisdom. His calls to them are so many, so loud, and so varied that none can fail to hear but those who willfully neglect them." God is speaking constantly to mankind. So it's not a matter of whether or not he's speaking. The question is, what are you listening to? Who are you listening to? God's wisdom is crying out tonight, crying out to you, crying out to me. And here he begins to unpack this chapter of wisdom now with the feminine side. She stands in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. In other words, God's wisdom is not some secret cultic wisdom like the Masonic Lodge or like the Mormons. It's a wisdom that is declared openly. Jesus said in John chapter 18, verse 20, to Caiaphas the high priest, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple where the Jews always resort. And in secret have I said nothing. The things that are revealed are easy to be known, for they belong to us and to our children. And we need not soar up to heaven or dive into the depths to get the knowledge of them. We have it in God's word. God's word is God's wisdom. God's wisdom is found in his word. She cries at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. The gates of a city were the places where one could reach the most amount of people with a message. That's where they held court. That's where a lot of the important decisions were made known through the then known world. And everyone entering or leaving had to go through a gate. It was at the gates that the prophets proclaimed their message of either encouragement or rebuke to the people. As gates suggests the way into the city, so doors suggest the way into our home. And so we find out in this chapter what is revealed all the way in scriptures, that the wisdom of God is given to guide us in both our public and in our private lives. God wants his children to walk in wisdom. He wants us to walk in his wisdom, not the wisdom as it is found in this world. Unto you, O men, verse 4, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. And so there are two different groups of human beings there that are being spoken to, whom wisdom is crying out to. The first suggests man is mighty and noble, and the second just suggests the common man. And so thus the wisdom from God is shown to be needful, whether you are humanly brilliant or whether you are like the majority of us, just common people. You see, there is not a human being on this earth who doesn't need the wisdom of God. Now, there are many people on earth that think that they're smarter than God, who don't believe in God, who just prove that they're a fool. Every one of us needs the wisdom of God. When Paul was speaking of his passion to reach the world for Jesus Christ, we read in Colossians 1, 28 and 29, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. As you look at this world that we live in, how's the wisdom of man doing? I mean, just look at it objectively. Not critically, just look at it objectively. Look at the things that they are calling good. Look at the things that they are calling evil. We need, the church needs a fresh revelation of the wisdom of God. We need God's wisdom. We need the wisdom from above. And God's crying out to you and me tonight. And if you are really seeking wisdom, God will make himself known to you. He will reveal himself to you. James says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. If you are really looking for godly wisdom and godly direction, and you're ready to be guided by that wisdom and that direction, even if it is contrary to your own understanding, he'll give it to you. Notice in verse 5, O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. The wisdom of God calls. The wisdom of God reproves. The wisdom of God cries out. And to whom does he cry out? To those who are unwise, the simple ones, people who are naive, and to the fool. Psalm 53, verse 1 says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. You see, in the Bible, the fool is one who is actively spurning the ways and wisdom of God. The fool says that there is no God, and he or she lives their life as if there is no God, in spite of the overwhelming evidence of creation that cries out day and night. The fool is one who hears God's call but refuses to wisdom. There's a proverb that states in chapter 18 these words, "Through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeks and intermeddles with all wisdom. A fool has no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself." In other words, there are individuals who could care less what God's word says on any given topic. All they want to do is have a confirmation of their fallen wisdom. The Bible tells us that we are all like sheep who have gone astray. Sheep are not brilliant animals. You know that, right? So when God calls you and I sheep, he's really not being complimentary. Sheep do the dumbest things. Not you guys, other sheep. We've gone astray. We've lost our way. We often make decisions based on earthly knowledge, what the experts say, rather than what God says. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." And the whole design of the Word of God, the whole design of godly wisdom, is to make us wise. How we need wisdom. Don't you need wisdom? I need wisdom. We need wisdom. I need wisdom as a husband, as a father, as a grandfather, as a pastor. I just need godly wisdom. The Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own what understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." Proverbs 26:12 says, "Do you see a man that is wise in his own eyes? There is more hope of a fool than of him." So God is speaking in verse 6. He says, "Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things." God wants to speak to you and me excellent things. I think of Luke chapter 10, when Jesus commended Mary for making the decision to sit at his feet and hear his words, just like you've done tonight. You've made the decision to come. And our prayer is, God, speak to us. We want to hear from you tonight. It's never the instrument. It's the Spirit of God. It's the voice of the living God that we want to hear. God wants us to receive excellent things. Proverbs 22:20, "Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge?" It's amazing the amount of money that psychologists and psychiatrists are making this day, in this day and age. And they're doing their level best. I don't question the sincerity of the majority of them, but most of them traffic in earthly and worldly wisdom. God says, "I have written to you. I have counsel for you." Every time you and I open this book, we hear the wisdom of God, the counsel of God. Isn't that beautiful? He says, I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things, for my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips." God speaks truth. Truth is not a popular word in our society, is it? People don't want to hear truth. In fact, there's many people who want us to believe that there is no truth. There is no absolute truth. And all you have to do is just ask them the question, well, is that an absolutely truthful statement? You see, God's word is truth, reality. It's the truth that is needed to guide our lives. When Jesus was about to go to heaven, the Holy Spirit would be poured out. And in John 14, 16, and 17, he says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth." When the Holy Spirit speaks, he speaks words of truth. Every time you open up the Bible, you are hearing the truth of God. John 17, 17, Jesus prayed for his disciples, and he says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And so tonight, God is speaking truth to us that will sanctify us if we hear it, if we receive it and if we apply it. Notice he says, my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Lying is wickedness. That's what God says. The devil's a liar. The world system is based on lies, antichrist, anti-Bible. It's morality system. It's economic system. It's everything that is opposed to what the kingdom of God establishes. And we should not only refrain from it, but it should be an abomination to us. Now, all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or twisted or unsavory or perverse in them. God's word, everything that he says is filled with truth. It's excellent. It's righteous. It's just right. God's word is just right. He's never wrong. When you and I find ourselves arguing with God, stop. You're going to lose. He's never wrong. He's always right. And it's not like he's up in heaven like this know-it-all. He's just right. The Bible tells us that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or the woman of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished into all good works. And so the purpose of God's wisdom, God's word, is so that you and I would mature in Christ and be a witness to this fallen world, being salt and being light. This fallen world that we live in, God's word in verse 9, they are all plain. In other words, straightforward to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. In other words, if you're really serious of finding God, you'll find him. What are you looking for tonight? Who are you looking for tonight? The prophet Jeremiah said in chapter 29, I believe it's in verse 13, Jeremiah 29 says these words, and you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. There's no room for half-hearted pursuit of God. All your heart. Which means you and I have to erase our heart of any agendas that we may have. Any plans, any purposes that we may have. God's word is plain. God's word is right. And we need a right understanding of how to navigate through these crazy days that you and I are living in, don't we? Again, the Family Bible program says the plainest and best instructions are of no avail unless there be an understanding heart to receive them. The doctrine of Christ was an offense to the scribes and Pharisees, but all who had an humble and obedient spirit received it gladly. God, give us understanding hearts. Pray that for this church family. Give us understanding hearts. Give us a hunger and thirst for the wisdom that comes from above. He says, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. Notice, instruction must not only be heard, but received. And then what? Applied. Again, God's value system. Psalm 119, verse 17 says, the law of your mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Let's imagine if you went home tonight. You arrived at home, and there's a package on the front door. And in the package, let me just arbitrarily pick a figure, was $1 million. What would you do if you opened it up? And you go, wow. Woo, $1 million. And it's a legitimate check or whatever. There it is, $1 million. Then you go in the house. There's your Bible on the coffee table. What's of more value? What's in the box? Or it's on the table. This is more valuable than all the money in the world. This is more valuable than all the wisdom in the world. Notice verse 11, for wisdom is better than rubies, And all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. So verses 10 and 11 tell us, give us the relatively, the greater importance of spiritual things to earthly things. The greatest need you and I have tonight, and that's not to make light of any physical or mental or emotional crisis you may be going through. Our greatest need tonight is always spiritual. You see, the rich man in Luke 16 lived to build bigger barns. He lived for what used to be called the great American dream. Where is he now? He's in hell. He learned his folly too late, didn't he? The most valuable reality that any person, young or old, can attain is the insight to order their lives by the standard of truth, according to God's word. Psalm 19, verses 9 through 11 says, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." Notice, "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward." Again, notice how gold and silver, as important as they are, they can't be compared to the value of God's word. Proverbs 3, 14 and 15 says, "The merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She that is wisdom is more precious than rubies, and all the things you can desire are not to be compared unto her." Imagine asking God, "God, I want your wisdom more than to win the New York State lottery. I want your wisdom. I desire your wisdom." Now notice the personal pronouns. "I wisdom dwell or settle down with prudence and find out the knowledge of witty inventions." I just like the old King James. Some of the words that are found in there. Witty inventions. That's this fallen world. In Colossians 7:29, we read, "Lo, this only have I found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions." And there's so many witty inventions that fallen man has come up with to replace God or to be a substitute for God, which is what the spirit of Antichrist. But God says, "I dwell with prudence. I dwell in the hearts of those who are seeking wisdom." Matthew Henry wrote, "Wisdom here is Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It is Christ in the word and Christ in the heart. Not only Christ revealed to us, but Christ revealed in us." It's when we have the wisdom of Christ that we see the folly of all of the witty inventions. You and I were trapped by so many of them before we came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, weren't we? Trapped by witty inventions, clever inventions, things that were invented by man to make us happy, feel secure. Thank God for the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the answer to any man who is latching onto a witty invention instead of the living God. Now, here's a key in verse 13. "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate." There are 14 references to the fear of the Lord in the book of Proverbs. And among other things, it is both the beginning of knowledge and the beginning of wisdom as well. So you and I, as believers, need to have a biblical, healthy fear of God, don't we? And I shudder at times at the lack of reverence for God amongst the people of God. Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
bless his holy. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.